The election is over. Hopefully you research what God says about the issues, where the candidates stand on the issues, and voted according to biblical values. Now we need to trust God and pray that His kingdom would come, that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and allow God to work through you to help make this happen. Join me in praying for our cities, counties, states, and nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Right around the corner is the election, and we will cover that next week. But I did want to start a new series that will not be a continuous series of, or a sequential series of weekly series, but it will be something that we'll cover over time. And that is living a balanced life. We hear a lot about living a balanced life, and sometimes people talk about work-life balance or work-home balance or other types of balance, maybe making sure that you're getting enough rest, making sure that you're getting enough exercise. And all of those are important, but in our Christian life, we also need to have a balanced life. There are certain things that God tells us to do, and if we follow one of these to the exclusion of the others, then we will be out of balance. If we neglect one of these but follow others, then we will be out of balance. And it's important that we are in balance. So we're going to look at some of the things that God tells us that we should do. This is just going to be a broad overview today. We'll go into some of these, and we have gone into several of these more detailed, and we'll do that again. But what we really want to do here today is actually to look at just a broad overview of this message. So one of the things that God tells us to do is to read His Word. In fact, He also tells us not only just to read His Word, but there are several admonitions. We'll talk about a few of those today. But He talks about reading His Word. He talks about meditating on His Word. He talks about being a student of the Word. And the Bible talks about also The Bible also talks about being a doer of the Word, not just a hearer of the Word. And we're going to talk about a few of these today. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul instructs Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And there's some really pretty odd words in that passage, because how can we be approved to God? Every single one of us, the Bible tells us, and even the Apostle Paul tells us, that our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. So there's none of us that can be good enough to earn God's favor. All of us are dependent upon His grace and His mercy. It is only because God had mercy upon us and grace that He sent His Son to the earth to die on the cross for our sins, so that our sins can be forgiven. That's the only way that we can get into heaven. Yet, we are also supposed to do what God wants us to do. We are supposed to live holy, even as He is holy. We are to be righteous, even as He is righteous. We are to be hearers and doers of His Word. We are to strive to please Him, even though it's impossible to do so. And so we see here that He tells us to be diligent to present yourself approved to God. So we're to be working hard. We're to be diligent about this, to be approved of God. And what are we doing to be approved of God? We're to be a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to get into the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to meditate upon it. We need to study it. We really need to spend as much time studying the word of God as we do studying other things. You know, certainly our work takes up a lot of our time. And when you're younger and you're in school, that takes up a lot of time. And when you're older, sometimes in certain professions, you still have to go back to school. In my profession, not only as a pastor, but also as a computer technician, I'm learning every single day. But you also need to be studying the Word of God so that you can rightly divide the Word of truth. The Bible tells us that God's Word is truth, and we are to hear and obey His Word. We're to study His Word. We're to be able to rightly divide it. In other words, we should understand it. And certainly, that doesn't mean that you have to fully, completely understand every part of the Bible. But that should be your goal. You should be reading every part of the Bible. I would say on a yearly basis, at a minimum, you should go through the entire Bible every year. By the way, that may sound like an insurmountable task, something that you could never accomplish. But let me tell you, for many people who read quickly, you can do so in about 15 minutes a day. So about 15 minutes a day, many people who read quickly can read through the Bible in a year. If you're like me and you read a little bit slowly and you're reading, it might take you longer than that, maybe 30 minutes a day. But today we have great levels of technology, and we don't have to just hear the Word of God or read the Word of God. We can actually hear the Word of God. And I have learned, because I'm a slow reader, I've learned to be able to hear something, and I actually not only hear it, but I repeat it to myself in my head. As I'm hearing it, I'm repeating it to myself, and that has allowed me to learn how to become an auditory learner, so that I can actually maximize my time. Because, and in fact, I can read the Bible or listen to the Bible when I'm taking out the trash, or when I'm preparing food, or when I'm doing work in the garden. I can actually hear the Word of God, and I can learn from that. And as I do, I compare what I believe against the Bible. And if I see a controversy or if I see a conflict there, I actually will change what I believe. And or I might say, well, I need to study that a little bit more. Like, for instance, if you were reading this passage and you've also read other passages like I referenced, where our righteousness is as filthy rags. And then you read this passage that says that we are to be diligent to present yourself approved, then, you know, you might need to study and examine those two concepts that do seem to, at first glance, contradict one another. And that's really one of the things, this concept of God's grace, God's sovereignty in our salvation, and then our responsibility in salvation. These are concepts that many people in Christianity believe one or the other. And in fact, there are groups of Christians and denominations that are formed based on believing that God is sovereign in salvation. And there are other groups that are based on and built on looking at our personal responsibility. And then there are some that realize that God wants us to realize and to thank Him that our salvation is not dependent upon us. It's dependent upon him, that he is fully sovereign in salvation. We are saved not by any of our works. None of our works can save us or can bring us to a place of salvation. We are saved fully and completely by the grace of God. It is only by his work and what he has done that we have this salvation, that we enjoy, that we are able to enjoy salvation. Yet at the same time, we also have a responsibility to live holy, even as he is holy. We have a responsibility to press in, to make sure. In fact, even the Apostle Paul even says to make your call and election sure. Now, that is a really odd phrase, because God is the one that does the election. Yet the Apostle Paul says to make your call and election sure. In other words, to not be just assuming that because you go to church, or because you say a prayer or said a prayer asking God to save you of your sins and asking him to forgive you of your sins, that you are on your way to heaven, but to actually make sure that you are in the faith. The Apostle Peter talks about this as well, that we are to bow before the throne of grace, and we are to make sure that we are in the faith. This is something that we need to do. And by the way, if you're reading the Bible and you're reading the entirety of the Bible, you will actually see this. You will see these truths. This is why Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, then you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he's talking about being set free from sin. And certainly, there's a lot of truth in that, in really those two verses. I have said, and one of the things that I did quite often, I have been a missionary to the preborn. And when I was younger, I was actually so much involved in this that I actually went to abortion clinics, and I peacefully and prayerfully placed my body in front of the doors of the abortion clinics, most of the time to block the women from coming in to pay an abortion, is to kill their preborn child. Sometimes we actually blocked the abortionist from coming in. And in all of those circumstances, we were praying for that God would move on the hearts of the women, that God would move on the hearts of the abortionists, that he would convict them of their sins, that he would grant them a spirit of repentance and help them to choose life, and help them to not, help the women to not seek to pay an abortionist to kill their child, or to help the abortionist to repent of shedding innocent blood, and to realize that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood, and to repent. Well, as you can imagine, because of that activity, I was arrested quite a few times. In fact, I've been arrested over 50 times. I've spent almost 3 years, or about 3 years, in jail, not all at once, but at different times in different states and different cities. I've spent time in jail. And sometimes in jail, quite often in jail, I was actually leading people to the Lord. I was witnessing to people. I was calling them to repent of their sins. And I was even having Bible studies and discipling them in obedience to God's commandments. But in some of those cases, maybe if we were being transported, let's say, to court, you know, I would come in contact with people that I really wouldn't be able to see again. And I would be able to actually witness to them and encourage them in the Word of God. And one of the things that I tried to encourage them real quickly, you know, if I only had a few minutes with someone, I would encourage them to follow that passage, and to actually look into the perfect law of liberty, to look at the Word of God, to be a disciple, to hear God's word, to abide in his word, to live in his word, to be his disciple indeed, that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free from sin. Because if you're reading the word of God and you're obeying it and you're doing what it says to do, then you will actually be able to live your life in such a way that you will actually see everything that God wants you to do, including that you need to pray, including that you need to obey his word, including that God wants you, that first of all, you are saved, not of your own works, but by grace, but still you are called to be holy, even as he is holy, which, by the way, is impossible. None of us can be holy, even as he is holy, but it's our goal, and it's what we should be shooting for, and what we should be aiming for. It's something that we'll never achieve, but we should be ever moving closer and closer toward that task. And as we're reading the Word of God and meditating upon it and studying it, and again, we'll get into that more and more at a later date, we're going to see all of the things that God wants us to do. And one of those things that we're going to see that God wants us to do is to spend time in prayer. And in fact, to make our request to God. God, by the way, knows what we need before we pray, but he still asks us to ask him and to come to him on behalf of our needs, and not only on behalf of us, but on behalf of our nation as well. And we're going to look at two verses, and one is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, and then we're also going to look at Daniel chapter 3. But in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, we see, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, there's a wealth of information here. There's a wealth of knowledge. There's a wealth of instruction. We are to be anxious for nothing. This word anxious really is a synonym for worry. God doesn't want you to worry about anything. In fact, the Bible says that we should cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. We should be anxious for nothing. If you're sitting around and you have some hardship, you have some trials, you have some bad things that are happening to you, maybe things aren't going your way. Maybe you have problems in your relationship. Maybe you're having financial difficulty. Whatever the case is, worrying will not get you anywhere except for sick. Worrying will get you closer to death. Worrying will bring you to a place where you can actually incapacitates you and brings you to a place where you cannot function and cannot do anything to actually help yourself. We are not to be anxious. We are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything. In what things? In everything. By prayer and supplication. So in everything, whatever situation that you are in, if you're on the top of the world, or if you're in your lowest pit, the lowest time that you've ever been through, or the most difficult time that you've ever been through. You know, there are people today that are going through very good times, and there are people today that are going through very difficult times. There are people that were hit with the hurricanes that came and the tornadoes that spawned from those that are going through some very, very difficult times. And yet other people are not going through difficult times. But all of us are going to be paying more for our insurance, our business insurance, our homeowners insurance. Those rates are going to go up for every single one of us. But some people are really going through a valley right now and are really in a very difficult time. And in those times, sometimes people would say, and other people would say, well, what's the use? Why should I pray? What, you know, I just need to give up. And in fact, if you read the book of Job, Job's family, his wife, his friends, they encouraged him to curse God. His wife even encouraged him to curse God and die. He refused to do so. We need to, with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So this is interesting. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So we are, when we come before God, we are to include in our crying out to Him and our presenting our needs to Him, we are to actually come to Him and ask Him for with prayer and thanksgiving. So prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We're to be thanking God for His goodness, thanking Him for His truth, thanking Him that He answers prayer. Thanking Him even in advance that we know He is going to answer prayer. Thanking Him for all the prayers that He has answered in the past. And thanking Him for who He is. That He is righteous. That He is holy. That He is able and capable of meeting all of our needs. So even in our prayer, we are to present this in praise and to be thanking Him, to come before Him with prayer. And prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We're to make our request known to God. And here's what happens when we do that. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what happens when we don't worry, but instead pray, present our prayer and supplication to God, with thanking Him for who He is and what He has done for us, we are able to actually see God work in our lives. And we are actually able to see the goodness of God. And God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. This is something that people will look at you and say, man, what's wrong with you? You're going through some tough times here. Man, you're going through a very difficult time. Why are you so calm? Why do you have this peace? By the way, that's an opportunity to witness. That's an opportunity to share how good God is. That's an opportunity to share this principle that if we don't worry about anything, instead we bring those requests to God with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then what happens is that God's peace that passes all understanding guards our hearts and minds. So even in our times of prayer, we should actually be thanking God. And we also need to be praising Him at all times. We need to rejoice in the Lord at all times and make it so that His praise is always in our mouth. In Psalm 34, beginning in verse 1, we read, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My mouth shall make its boast to the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life, who loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servant, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So this psalm talks about praising God in all circumstances, even when there's difficult times. Why? Because he is God, because he can bring you through, and he will bring you through. If you have repented of your sins and you are seeking to serve him and you are applying biblical principles to your life, even though you go through difficult times, even though there are trials and tribulations, you will have the blessings of God will come upon you, and you can actually go and look at this and you can see God's goodness happen to you. I will bless the Lord at all times, even when I'm in the valley, even when I'm going through those low times, and I will thank him for the answers, because I know that he is capable of answering. I know that he has helped me in the past, and he will help me in the present, and he also will help me in the future. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
The election is over. Hopefully you research what God says about the issues, where the candidates stand on the issues, and voted according to biblical values. Now we need to trust God and pray that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and allow God to work through you to help make this happen. Join me in praying for our cities, counties, states, and nation.
7 million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer Treatment Centers of America, a business partner with WCNO, can treat these conditions. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has opened a clinic in Port St. Lucie and gives hope to those who suffer with these diseases. Using a patented artificial intelligence protocol, 75% of patients in the study had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. ATCA's team spent 12 years developing these treatments. They may be reached at 772-298-4477 or at atca.ai.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, till all is well with your soul. Count your blessings, move on past your doubt, count your